From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. China's state-run media say the official death toll from this week's powerful earthquake is nearing 15,000. That number is expected to increase as search teams reach more bodies trapped in the rubble. China has sent more troops to help with relief efforts in Sichuan province. NPR's Melissa Block is in Dujiangyan, 40 miles northwest of the provincial capital, Chengdu, where she watched one family searching for their two-year-old son missing in a collapsed building.
The scale of what's happened in this city is hard to imagine. It's a very big city, and there are buildings down just like this one everywhere. The relief effort is underway, and there are lots of soldiers here, but they have so much work to do. They're clearly ill-supplied. The families here on their own were going out and buying them face masks and gloves. They were bringing them shovels. They seem to have come in great numbers, but they don't have equipment. The heavy equipment is now here. But this scene that I've been watching all morning here with this one family in this one house is being repeated over and over and over again around the city. There will be many, many deaths.
NPR's Melissa Block reporting from Dujiangyan, China. President Bush arrived in the Middle East today to help mark Israel's 60th anniversary.
I look forward to discussing how I believe our two nations can continue to advance our ideals and approach our next 60 years of partnership with confidence and with hope.
The president flew by helicopter from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He'll be meeting with Israeli and Palestinian leaders in an effort to help bolster the Mideast peace process. Home foreclosures in the U.S. rose again last month. Analysts say with more subprime mortgages due for interest rate resets in the next couple of months, that number will likely continue rising. NPR's Paul Brown has more.
RealtyTrack, which keeps a database of foreclosures, says more than 243,000 properties were the focus of foreclosure filings in April, the highest monthly total since RealtyTrack started keeping records in January of 2005. And with many more adjustable-rate mortgages about to reset, RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga does not see swift improvement.
We could be looking at another historically high level of foreclosure activity by the late third and early fourth quarter unless something extraordinary happens between now and then.
Sharga says first-time home buyers and real estate investors are benefiting from depressed prices, but he says that if the number of foreclosures goes much higher, there could be a negative effect through the broader real estate market and the economy as a whole. Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.
Japanese share prices closed higher today. The Nikkei average rose by nearly 165 points. Oil prices held steady in Asian trading after falling back from an overnight trading record near $127 a barrel. U.S. light crude fell by 8 cents to $125.72 a barrel in electronic trading. This is NPR News. By a vote of 97-1, the Senate has rejected President Bush's policy of putting about 70,000 barrels of oil a day into the nation's strategic petroleum reserve. The House quickly followed suit. More from NPR's David Wellner.
North Dakota Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan led the push in the Senate to suspend for the rest of the year the oil shipments for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is already 97% filled.
We don't claim it's a giant step, but we do claim it's a step in the right direction that will put downward pressure on gas prices and downward pressure on oil prices.
Most Republicans broke ranks with President Bush after their presumed presidential nominee, John McCain, called for a moratorium on stockpiling oil. But while New Mexico Republican Senator Pete Domenici voted for the ban, he did so grudgingly.
America needs a strategic petroleum reserve, and we must have it, and we shouldn't grow accustomed to thinking the strategic petroleum reserve is going to solve our energy supply problem.
Still, it appears bipartisan congressional backing for the measure is big enough to override a presidential veto. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
Hillary Clinton won yesterday's primary in West Virginia. She pulled in 67% of the vote to Barack Obama's 25%. Clinton told a cheering crowd of supporters in Charleston that the race is not over yet. Clinton ran the strongest with older, less educated voters who earn $50,000 a year or less. As for delegates, Clinton picked up 20 in West Virginia to Obama's 8. Obama still has a solid lead in the overall delegate count. There are 5 remaining primaries on the calendar, with Kentucky and Oregon coming up next week. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.